Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 10th chapter, text number 5. Yadrichchaya chadevarshir. Yadrichchaya chadevarshir. Bhagavamstatrakodava. Apasyannarado deva. Apasyannarado devo. Shivano samabhudyata. Yadrichchaya chadevarshir. Bhagavamstatrakodava. Apasyannarado devo. Shibano samabhudyata. Others? Vaishnavis. Yadrichchaya. By chance, while wandering all over the universe, cha and Devarishi, the supreme saintly person among the demigods, Bhagavan, the most powerful, tatra, there, sorry, were the two sons of Kuvera, where the two sons of Kuvera were enjoying life. Kaurava, O Maharaj Prakrit. Apasyat, when he saw. Narada, the great saint. Devo, the two boys of the demigods. Shibano, with eyes maddened by intoxication. Samabhudyata, he could understand their position. Translation of the purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O Maharaj Prakrit, by some auspicious opportunity for the two boys, the great saint Devarshi Narada once appeared there by chance. Seeing them intoxicated with rolling eyes, he could understand their situation. Purport. It is said, excuse me, sadhu sangha, sarva shastre kaya. Lava matra sadhu sange, sarva siddhi hai. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhulila, chapter 22, text 54. Wherever Narada Muni goes, any moment at which he appears is understood to be extremely auspicious. It is also said, Brahmananda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Bhai Bhakti Lata Bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. End quote. That's from Madhulila, chapter 19, text 151. Narada appeared in the garden to give the two sons of Kuvera the seed of devotional service, even though they were intoxicated. Saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. Omaginata mananda shajananjana shalakaya chakshur umilitam tasmai shugudave namaha shri chaitanya manobishnam stapitam yena bhutale swayam rupakadamayam didati swapadanti kam. So Prabhupada says, saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. So yeah, Narada Muni gave him a lot of mercy. He cursed them to become trees for 100 years of the demigods. Does anybody know how long a demigod year is? It's 365 days. You know, so in other words, 100 years of the demigods is 36,000 of our years, 36,000 human years. Okay? So that means, and they were there until Krishna liberated them, well, until Krishna came and pulled down the trees. That was 5,000 years ago. So from 41,000 years ago to 5,000 years ago, Nalakuvara and Manigriva were standing there as trees. So, yeah, they really got the mercy. I mean, it must be a lot of fun to stand there as trees for 36,000 years. And not only that, but unlike ordinary trees that are just like oblivious to what's going on, their consciousness is so covered over, they kept their memory. That was part of the deal. They were aware of why they were being punished. So imagine that. You got to, you know, when you read these pastimes, you got to actually read them slowly and really try to think about what's going on, you know. So there they are, these two fellas, they were demigods, and they were enjoying in the water there with all these heavenly girls, you know. And the next thing they know, they're standing as trees for 36,000 years. And the whole time they're remembering that what they did wrong and why they're being punished. That's pretty heavy duty. I mean, that is really, that's a heavy punishment, you know. But we're hearing here how the saintly persons know how to bestow mercy upon the fallen souls. I mean, that doesn't sound like mercy to me. Does it sound like mercy to you? Of course, that's just part of the package. But, yeah, so they got quite a punishment. But that was necessary. Narada Muni felt that was necessary. I mean, he could have just chastised them, I suppose. I mean, you know, sometimes saintly people do that. They just chastise, and then he gives them the mercy. But no, he felt that they needed this. Actually, it's really a severe punishment because here in, like, let's take America, okay? What's the maximum penalty for indecent exposure? I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look it up on the internet. But does anybody have any idea? Maximum indecent exposure. Maybe it's a few months. Or, I mean, maximum like a year or two in jail. I really don't know. But I don't think it's anything like life imprisonment without parole. Right? I really highly doubt it. I mean, even if somebody exposed themselves right in front of the Supreme Court, you know, they'd probably get hit with indecent exposure and contempt of court. But still, what would they get? 5 or 10? I mean, but here, these demigods are getting 36,000 years of punishment. So that's a lot. So why was that, though? Well, Narada Muni knows his business, you know, as this general, in general, saintly persons and pure devotees do. He knew he needed to reform their mentality. And, you know, this might, if you think about it, which most times we don't, we just hear these things and just go, okay, then next bit of information. But if you think about it, that's a pretty stiff punishment that he meted out to them. But he felt that they needed that. They really needed to have their mentality reformed. And so he gave them 36,000 years standing as trees, being aware of why they were being punished. Why? To reform their mentality. So that, you know, then the good news, the good part comes when they met, because, you know, Narada Muni wasn't just interested in punishing them, and where's the question of mercy then? He arranged it so that after that punishment, they would meet Krishna. They would get Krishna's darshan. You know, Krishna would come and pull the grinding mortar in between the two trees. It would get stuck, and he'd just kind of keep dragging it, and the trees would come crashing down to the ground, and out would come these, you know, the two demigods in their bodies, their demigod bodies. They were released from the body of the tree, and immediately, what did they do? You know, did they start complaining about how mean Narada Muni is? Did they? No. It worked. What did they do? They started offering prayers. They offered prayers to Krishna. In other words, they got it. It took them a while. Narada Muni made sure that they would get it, and they did. They started offering prayers to Krishna, very beautiful prayers, glorifying Krishna and talking about their own mistake and how they, you know, how they now see the light, so to speak. And, so they were reformed. And Krishna was pleased by that. And then Krishna gave him the benediction. Krishna gave him the benediction that he told them, he informed them that you're very fortunate to have even seen Narada Muni. What to speak of being cursed by him? You're very fortunate to have even seen him. Anybody who sees a saintly person like that gets liberation. And this is your last birth here in the material world. Now you can go back to your, demigod planet, and even in this life, you know, by performing devotional service, engaging in devotional service, you'll be liberated even in this lifetime. So they totally, you know, did get the mercy of Krishna, but it came at a high price. Does everybody agree with that? Pretty high price. 36,000 years standing as a tree. The whole time just having to be aware of the fact that, oh man, I really blew it. Hare Krishna, that would have been like not a very pleasant experience, right, standing there as a tree. But so they got, the ultimate benediction, but it came at a very high price. So was it worth it? Do you think it was worth it? First of all, what do you think? Do you think it was worth it? Can anybody quote a verse that supports that point, that it was worth it, what they had to go through to get, they got love of Krishna. Actually, Krishna said that. I was going to bring the Krishna book, and I kind of spaced out, but Krishna actually says now, you know, he actually awarded them, their original love for Krishna had been awakened also as part of this, the deal, so to speak. And so can anybody think of a verse that supports that it was worth it, what they had to go through to once again get the pure devotional service and love of Krishna? I know Archita knows, but okay, well, I'll give it to you. This is a verse by Srila Rupa Goswami from the Padyavali, and he says, Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita mati kriyatam yadi kutopi labhyate tatra loyam api mulyam ekalam janmakoti sukritair na labhyate. Translation: pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. See? It can be obtained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. Now here's the kicker. Here's the sentence that really states it. It says, if it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. See, that's Rupa Goswami's opinion. That if somehow or another one can get pure love of pure devotional service, the love for Krishna, one should, doesn't matter what the price is. Whatever the price is, purchase it. You know, whatever it takes, purchase it. That's it's that valuable. So despite the fact that they had to, you know, they really got it at a high price in one sense, it was worth it. It was worth it. You know, as Krishna said, this is your last birth here in the material world. You made it. At the end of this lifetime, you're going back to Godhead. And even during this lifetime, if you practice devotional service, you're liberated. Okay? So let's just do a little survey here, just for the, you know, for the fun. So let's say you were approached by a bona fide representative of Krishna, or Krishna himself for that matter. You know, this is like we're having a hypothetical situation here, so we can fantasize a little bit. And they offered you a deal. And they said, here's the deal. If you're willing to accept it, I will give you 36,000 years. You can stand this 36,000 years as a tree. But at the end of that period, you'll meet Krishna, or you'll get some special mercy, and then you'll be liberated and you'll go back to Godhead. Or do you want to just continue on as devotees as you're doing? What would you take? You got a sure thing. The deal is you get a sure thing, but you got to, you know, have 36,000 years as a tree, and then you go back to Godhead. Or would you want to? But you know, it's sure. It's you can count on it, right? It's 100% money in the bank. Or you got to just take your chances and just, you know, keep performing devotional service like we're doing now. And bear in mind that Rupa Goswami says here. He says that pure devotional service and Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It's pretty difficult to get pure devotional service. So would you want to take that sure thing? Or would you want to take your chances and go for pure devotional service just along the lines of how we're doing it now? Let's take a couple comments. What would you say? Okay, so this man has faith that Prabhupada will take us back to Godhead, and he's prepared to, you'll pass up the offer, right? You'd like to continue on as what you're doing. Let's just quickly show of hands. How many would like to take the deal? How many want that deal? How many would take the 36,000 years as a tree and then go back to Godhead? Raise your hand. Let's just see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We got 5. Okay, how many don't want that deal? How many just want to take their chances and just continue on as how we are doing now? Faith, in the words of the spiritual master. There we go. Yeah. Okay. Say it louder. Right. But okay. But you have that kind of faith in Prabhupada's words, which that's glorious. That's okay. Right, I agree. Philosophically, yeah, we can go back to God at the end of this lifetime. But do you have confidence? That's kind of that figures in the equation too. Do you have confidence that you're going to be able to follow properly enough so that you will get that kind of mercy? Okay. I mean, you know, there's no right and wrong answer here. It's just kind of... Anybody else want to make a comment on this point before we... Shusachi, you had your hand up there. You want to say something? This is like a little transcendental amusement here. Go ahead.
If somebody offered me right now,
yeah,
you just kind of sit in the body of a tree. I mean, I'm kind of lazy anyway, so it sounds pretty good. It's like especially on the bank of the Jamuna or something. It's very nice. So you know, you just sit there for 365,000 years, and then all of a sudden you go back to Godhead. That sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, Archita.
In order to make an informed decision, you have to see what is the downside of not accepting the offer. So the downside is that if you don't complete it in this life, Krishna says, Neha Bikramanasvasti, you know, It's guaranteed you're going to at least get a human body. And Prabhupada said, and there's also the verse that, you know, you're going to be take birth, Shushanam Srimatam Gehe, either in a rich family or a family of devotees. So the downside of sticking with what we have now is not, doesn't seem to be as bad as 36,000 years of standing in a tree's body. You're going to come back as a bhai. You're going to give birth in a devotee family, come to Mangalartik every day, play Murdanga and Guru Puja. I think that's not such a bad deal. I will stick with this part. Because even if I don't, somehow or other, by my own foolishness, lack of desire, I don't make it back this life, I think that the next step is going to be pretty good, not tree life.
Okay. Anybody else want to? Okay. Yes.
So they went back to heaven. Said, they used Krishna, their free will to go to heaven.
No, Krishna, I guess, sent them
after 36,000 years of standing as trees, they saw Krishna, and Krishna said, you can go to heaven. And then they said, okay, let's go.
Well, no, it wasn't quite like that.
It wasn't like that?
No, no. After 36,000 years of standing as trees, when they, you know, Krishna pulled the trees down, they appeared before Krishna in their demigod body, and Krishna, he told them at that point, okay, this is your last life in the material world. You know, you've made it. You're being rewarded pure devotional service. You've awakened your ecstatic love for me. Those are the exact words that he used. At least that's what appears in the Krishna book. And then you're going to go back to Godhead. And if you practice devotional service,
if
I don't even think he said if. He said by practicing, you know, devotional service throughout this lifetime, you'll even experience, you know, you'll be in a liberated condition even for the duration of this lifetime.
But they still have free will in heaven.
Well, yeah. I mean, you always have free will, right? But that was what Krishna's kind of told him what's going to happen to him. So, I, you know, feel. Martha, go ahead.
Well, I have great faith in the words of my spiritual master. In my initiation letter, Srila Prabhupada did say, if you follow the four regulative principles, chant at least 16 rounds a day, and preach in the best way you can, you will be sure to go back to Godhead.
Jai. That's nice. Anybody else who didn't send me? No? Okay. Well, the only other point I wanted to make, aside from that, was that it seems like we have to be really careful about how we associate with spiritually elevated people. Because obviously, this is offense. It's an offense. I mean, I started to make this point, and I kind of digressed. But, you know, being indecent exposure is certainly an offense. And the more important the people are you indecently expose yourself to, and the more, important the situation is, the greater the offense is. But it seemed like it was greatly magnified. In other words, that offense is magnified when it's in relation to spiritually elevated people, or just in general, just even here in the material world, the more important the people are that you offend, the greater you're going to, the consequences are going to be. In the same way, you know, if you please important people, the greater the benefit's going to be. It's kind of like you're playing for higher stakes, right? And Nalakuva and Mani Griva, they didn't realize it, but they were playing for the highest stakes. Because, you know, Narada Muni here is in the word-for-word translation is referred to as Bhagavan. Bhagavan, or is it Bhagavan, the most powerful. And he's referred to as the supreme saintly person among the demigods. So, woo! They didn't realize what was going on. But anyway, they came out okay in the long run. But that seems to be a principle. You have to be, you know, this is a very important instruction for us because we are in the association of devotees. Each one of us, we're in association of devotees, and we're constantly, interacting. We have to be very careful because, as I said, offenses are magnified. You know, if you just say something that rubs some stranger on the street the wrong way, okay, you know, he might get a little bit insulted and he might say something back to you. But if you say something, say something that was kind of disrespectful. If you say something like that to a devotee, then it's more than just that he might say something back to you. You know, you committed an offense. It's like I've heard it's described that the offenses are like taking a machete and just whacking into your devotional creeper. You know, when you commit offenses, you know, we chant that thing every morning, Bahu Jama Kariyadi Shravana Kirtana, that if one is infested with the 10 offenses, yeah, if you're infested with offenses, despite the fact that you're chanting for many millions of births, you don't get the love of Godhead, which is the ultimate goal of the chanting. So we have to be very careful. Does anybody else ever hear that an example or that analogy that, you know, offenses is like taking a machete and just whacking into your devotional creeper? It's gonna hurt it. So we've got to be very careful about that. It's just like, I remember when I was a kid, just to give an idea of the magnifying thing, I used to play with magnifying glasses. And you just pick it up from the other kids, but say it was a day with 75 degrees out. I could take my magnifying glass, not any particular powerful magnifying glass, just one I bought at the, you know, 5 and 10 cent store. What was the name of that thing? Something 5 and 10 cent store, right? Yeah, I can't remember. There was one particular one that was Woolworths. That was it. Thank you, Woolies. Yeah, Woolworths 5 and 10 cent store. You know, that was a regular standard old magnifying glass. And you used to be able to, you know, you get the sun's rays and you could just fiddle around with it. And I could burn leaves. I could set paper on fire. What to speak of scorch my friends, you know? If they weren't looking, you just kind of zero it right on somebody's hand. Ow! Like that, you know? But, so that now I looked it up last night that the temperature at which something, you know, will ignite is between 380 and 600 degrees Fahrenheit. So that means I was getting sun rays, which are, you know, because say it was 75 degrees out, just by fiddling around this magnifying glass, I was multiplying it. What is that? 75 to 300 is four to eight times, pretty much, 4 to 8 times. So, you know, that's the idea that in the association of the devotees, these offenses, the beneficial effect is magnified and the detrimental effect is magnified. So as I said, it's like playing for higher stakes. So, we've got to be very careful while doing that. Let's see, was any other point? Oh, basically, just this idea that, what an opportunity this is to be in the association of the devotees. Like somebody might think that, well, you know, you look around, there's not that many of us. Right, we're actually like a small group of people here, and somebody might say, "Well, the reason for that is because people have understood that this is not such a good thing, really, and why should we get involved?" And even people who get involved don't stick it out. A lot of times they leave. Somebody might say, "It's further proof of that. It's just not that good a thing." Okay, maybe that's one explanation, but another explanation is this: that devotees are like hand-picked cherries. just like I had a friend who's, he lives in Hawaii, he's an organic farmer. I remember one day I was out in this, he had 11 acres, and he had a garden where he was growing everything. So one day in the morning, I was out there with him when he was picking all the stuff to, take it down to the health food store. And I noticed that so much good stuff would look like good stuff. I mean, maybe had a little brown on the edge or a little, hole where some insect bit through it or something like that. But he would just pull that and throw it off. And it had to be picture perfect for him to stick it in the, the basket, because the health food stores wouldn't take it otherwise. So it was, hand-picked. And it was hand-picked. He was hand-picking everything he grew to make sure that only the most perfect stuff would get to. So in the same way, Krishna's, it's one possible theory. I'm presenting a theory here that it's not just like coincidence who shows up at a Hare Krishna temple and who sticks around at a Hare Krishna temple. It's hand-picked cherries. Devotees are, it's a good way to think. Even if this isn't correct, I don't know, because this is like what's called a philosophical speculation. I don't know that, that this is the case, but I could support it by saying Brahmananda Brahmate Kona Bhagyavan Jeev, that verse is there. It's quoted right here in this purport. But, it's a good thing to be thinking, because it's going to keep us really careful about how we associate with each other. That this idea that devotees are special, they've been handpicked by Krishna to be here. It's not just anybody gets to, have the opportunity to become a devotee, live amongst in the association of the devotees. So, you want to be, what to speak of when we're associating with leaders in the movements, sannyasis, gurus, GBCs like that. It's a good way to be thinking. This is some person that's kind of special to Krishna, because if they weren't, how could they? They wouldn't have been invited to be in this movement. They couldn't be here this long, and they wouldn't be in the situation that they're in. So it's, there's that expression to err on the side of caution. So it's always better to be thinking like that, and to always be very respectful, very humble, very servicial, if that's a word, I don't know, have that, like, wanting to serve. That's good. That's intelligent. That's safe. You're not going to, if you do like that, you're not going to have the pitfall here, experience the pitfall of like Nalakuvra and Manigriva, and you might make some spectacular advancement by cultivating that sort of an attitude. That's definitely the way to go. And I think that's the really big important lesson that we can learn from, one of the big important lessons we could learn from this pastime, that how powerful the association of the pure devotee is. Actually, Prabhupada starts off his purport by quoting Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastri Koi, Lava Matara, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Koi. He doesn't give even a prose translation, what to speak of, word for word. He just wraps it up by saying Narada Muni, at any moment at which he appears, is understood to be extremely auspicious. But the actual translation for that verse is, well, Sadhu Sangha means the association of the sadhu, and he says it again, the association of the sadhu. Sarva Shastri Hoy, all the scriptures say this, okay? Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, that Lava Matra means an 11th of a second. Even if you get that association of like an elevated devotee for an 11th of a second, Sarva Siddhi Hoy. Sarva means all, Siddhi means perfection, Hoy means there. Just a 1/11th of a second association with the pure devotee, all perfection of life is there. So there we go. That's as I said, really important. One of the really important lessons from this pastime to be meditating on how powerful the association of elevated devotees is, and how much careful we want to be not to offend them, not to displease them, etc., etc., etc. And the flip side of the coin, how diligent we should be, how much we should be trying and planning and doing everything we can to try to get the mercy of the other devotees, the advanced devotees, because by their blessings, Sarva Siddhi Hoy, all perfection of life is there. So I'll stop there. 10 past, maybe we've got some questions. Anybody have any questions or comments? First hand was Mother Karuna Dharani, then Shamakund, and Satchidanoy. Yeah. I guess you're waiting for the microphone. Yeah, Mother Karuna Dharani was first. She had her hand up first.
Thank you for a very nice class, Gurupati Prabhu. I was thinking you were talking about the sinful reactions that they got and how severe it was. And I was thinking that isn't it a fact that doing what they did in that day and age is different from doing that in this day and age in terms of severity of reactions?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. The social values and mores at that time, that was considered a much more offensive act in that association and that society of demigods, where they're supposed to know a lot better, right? And so that was, that would have been a much greater offense.
Because it's a different yuga.
It's a different yuga. It's a different association. They're not like, cats and dog human beings like today. These were two sons of Kuvera, who's a very highly placed demigod. So, yeah, it's a fact. That was a more serious offense then than it would be now in contemporary human society. Shamakun, before you fall asleep, go ahead. Ask your question.
Regarding the point that was being in discussion, Narada Muni has different ways of preaching. He preached to Dhruva Maharaj. He told that you are a little boy. Why are you coming to this jungle? It's better you grow up and come back later. So based on time, place and circumstances, he has been preaching. To Chitraketu Maharaj, he brought back the dead son and then he preached through him. And Prahlad Maharaj, in a different way. So when these kind of high class devotees, they preach according to time, place and circumstances. So for Manigriva and Nalakuvir, they are like maddened by the opulence because they are sons of the treasurer of the demigods. So for them, there is no better way than, you know, condemning them to the body of a tree. So there was no better solution.
Correct.
So that's why he cursed, because that was the best for them. So when it comes to us, we have received the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. We have received the, you know, the cult of devotion that is coming from Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So for us, there is no need to look anywhere else. For us, this is the best place.
Jai.
Bhrigupati Prabhu, please correct me if I'm wrong in this. At the beginning of your class, you quote this verse, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavitamati, and the translation goes, pure devotional service in Krishna consciousness cannot be had even by pious activity in hundreds and thousands of lives. It can be attained only by paying one price, that is, intense greed to obtain it. If it is available somewhere, one must purchase it without delay. So I was just, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
I was thinking in a different verse that fit the description, because this one, right here, it says that they were eager to obtain it, but we don't see that in the demigods. In these two personalities, they were more Brahmanda, Brahmita, Konya, Bhagavan, Jeev, they were causeless mercy. It was given to them. So how did that verse, you know...
Well, no, it applies. I mean, I did mention that, you know, what was the first thing they did when Krishna dragged those trees down, and then they appeared in their demigod body before Krishna, what did they do? They didn't just think, man, that was a long time. Okay, where are the girls? You know, no. They offered prayers. They had the greed at that point. They didn't have the greed back when they got cursed, you know, 36,000 years ago.
Right,
but if you read those prayers that
so
they
before
offered...
before they didn't have it.
No, they didn't. They got causeless mercy. They got the seed of devotional service from Narada Muni along... It's part of the package, you know. But by the time they got the darshan of Krishna, they had the greed. They learned their lesson, and they had the greed. If you listen to read the prayers that they offered to Krishna, you could understand that they saw the error of their ways, and now they were ready for devotional service, and they got it.
So thank
by
you.
By the mercy
that
of Narada and the mercy
the
of Krishna.
Part.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Prabhu.
Bhrigupati, I have two questions. Because we are meant to be accepting a spiritual master. So, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita, there's Tad Vidit Prani Patena Pariprasnena, that come forward to a spiritual master and humbly render service to them. So, as a second generation ISKCON devotee, I want to clarify, I want to ask this question. Does that mean formal initiation is required for you to start that process, or is it that okay, I have accepted a spiritual master in Srila Prabhupada as the original Siksha Guru of ISKCON. In my heart, although I have not taken formal initiation, so the process, because this is such an important point in class today you're mentioning, that if you are following Srila Prabhupada, just like Mataji said, then you're going back to God. But a lot of devotees have this in their mind, that I have not taken formal initiation, but I have accepted so-and-so as my spiritual master. So I want to firstly ask, does it mean first accepting a formal initiation? And if you are accepting formal initiation as second generation devotees from disciples of Srila Prabhupada, then are we now, in essence, accepting Srila Prabhupada also in that process of parampara to be in line to go back to Godhead?
Yeah. The first Back to Godhead magazine I read, these two devotees, it was a conversation. They were between the devotees. Prabhupada's on a walk, I guess. And two devotees asked him this question, Prabhupada, when can we become initiated? And Prabhupada said, you're already initiated. He said, as soon as you become serious, and Judah Karma read this too, same magazine, as soon as you become serious to follow my instructions, that is initiation. Of course, Prabhupada, in those days, he was the only guru. Prabhupada was the Vartma Pradakshina guru, the one who introduces you to the path. He was the Shiksha guru, and he was the Diksha guru. So he did make that statement. But the idea is that there's, you know, there's those three gurus, Brahma Pradakshina Guru, Shiksha Guru, and Diksha Guru. And, you know, accepting Prabhupada and accepting the philosophy, accepting the teachings, accepting the, you know, instruction, that's good. But formal initiation is also recommended. Rupa Goswami recommends that in the Nectar Devotion. So, yeah, it's good. If you accept, that's good. So what's the problem with taking the next step or another step and taking also a formal initiation, diksha, from somebody who's authorized to give it? So I think, you know, it's good to do both things. I mean, you should accept. Everybody should accept the instructions and the philosophy that was presented by Prabhupada. And as part of that is, you know, the culmination of that, you take a formal initiation, a ritualistic initiation from a Diksha Guru, and that person becomes your guru, you know. And, you know, you're further linked to the Parampara by that initiation. And at the same time, this other Shiksha Gurus are instructing you, and that's also valid too. Does that answer your question? Or
yeah, but you see, so, but if you just keep on thinking and have that reservation that, hey, I have accepted instructions and just leave it there and never take the formal surrender, because to me, correct me if I'm wrong, is when you take initiation, then you actually take strict vows. You actually are bound by that formality because you have set and accepted that. But when you're just mentally saying, oh yes, I have accepted the instructions, but not formally surrendering,
yeah,
that means you're
correct.
Checking yourself.
That's
yes.
Correct. It's good. I'm not saying it's... When I say it's good, I mean it's a lot better than nothing to accept the... You know, accept. I accept Prabhupada. I accept. I'm following the regulative principles. I'm going to chant my rounds. That's good. But you got to... I would say you should go further and take the formal initiation. You know, it's good that somebody's even doing that, accepting. And there's probably people in that category, but they should be encouraged to take... Go further and take the formal. Archie is dying to say something here, so let's give him the mic and take the formal initiation as well.
Yeah, this, I mean, this has been coming up since time immemorial. It's not something new. Let's follow Prabhupada. Prabhupada's example is this. The first time he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, I accepted him in my heart as my guru. But he still did the formal. Why? Because the guru also has to accept you. It's a two-way street. It's impersonal to think just because I accept then everything is kosher. No. The other party has to accept you also. I'll give you another example. For many years, devotees had been approaching Jayadvaita Swami and saying that they wanted him as guru. And he said, no, I'm not accepting any disciples. And one particular person kept bothering him. He said, so you accept me as your guru? And the person says, yes. And he says, well, as your guru, I'm telling you, I'm not accepting any disciples. You see? So it's a two-way street. It's not just because that person accepted him in their heart that he would accept them. He did not want to accept them. So the two parties have to be there. You cannot make it a one-way transaction. Then it's impersonal. That because I accept you, therefore you must accept me. No. Sometimes the guru will not accept you for whatever reason. Either because they're not accepting disciples or they just don't want you as a disciple for whatever reason. The two parties have to be in accepting mood. You can't just make it a one-way transaction. So just because many people say, in my heart, I've accepted Prabhupada, it's not guaranteed that Prabhupada would accept them. You have to leave that question mark there. He may not accept you.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's not here to formally say yes or no, then you have to approach somebody who represents him. That's the way Parampara goes on.
Thank you.
So if someone has not accepted formal initiation but has taken someone at heart as guru, does that person go back to Godhead?
There's two births, mother and father and guru. So if you don't take that birth into Krishna consciousness, how do you go back to Godhead? So you have to take the birth. And also, not only that, initiation means that you're making vows in front of witnesses. You know, that's why we have a formal initiation. The guru's there, Vaishnavas are there, for the deity of Krishna. So all those things are meant to be like a formal commitment, following the regulative principles, chanting, like that. A guru accepts you formally. All those things are there in order to make it a complete package.
Okay, one last comment or question, and then we'll end.
No, yeah. I was thinking that there is injunction in the Vedas, like if you want to be an astrologer, you gotta go to a
someone that it will teach you astrology, and if you want to do a bhakti, progressive bhakti, it's an injunction, like you cannot change that. It has to. It's mentioned in the Vedas, you have to do that because it's in the Vedic injunction. If you don't follow the Vedic injunctions, all this speculation comes about. Basically.
Okay, that's great. Grandchild Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Just one. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sure.